This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
We're glad that you guys are here. If you have your message notes, take those out. If you have the app, whatever you're doing to kind of follow along, especially if you're in a small group, get some things down. You're going to discuss this. Or if you don't have a small group, jump in. Let us know. Maybe you have questions, things that you're thinking about. And as you're getting ready, quick word again, thank you for all the stuff you brought in. It has been distributed. We took a small team up to the Boone area on Friday to work with our former worship leader Carson out of his church, Laurel Springs Baptist Church, right there off of 421. It was a really powerful day to kind of go up. There was one couple, Scott and Sherry, who had their power knocked out on the day one, lost no water or anything. When the power was turned on, the water got turned on, burst one of their pipes in the basement, flooded their basement. So they'd been without water for another 7 days, and we were able to get in, tear off the drywall so the plumber could get in there, replace all the pipes had to be replaced. Their carpet was ruined. They wanted all that out in case of mold, so we got a chance to work with them. And then the powerful thing to do afterwards that we were just able to pray with them and give them hope and encouragement and just say, hey, God's got this. They were so appreciative. So again, thank you. We're going to be in touch with Carson and other groups that are going out. It's going to be a long haul to help people. So we are just saying, God, use us. So we'll let you know if there's other trips. If you're interested in serving right away, we always just refer people to Samaritan's Purse. They're doing a great job up there. And people have hope. And it's amazing to see the people jumping in. So thank you for all their donations and everything. It's well used and what God's doing. Today, we are at week 7 of our series we're calling Essentials, the How-To's of Becoming Like Jesus. We're taking this fall to go, okay, if it's about Jesus, if Jesus is better, if he is the answer, what does that mean for us? And we know that God's plan for us is to become like Jesus. And today, I want to start with a question that I get more than any other question, a question that some of you have asked. I've been in groups where you have asked this question, some form of it. You probably have thought about this in some area of your life, and here's the question. What is God's will for my life? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever asked that? Some people ask it like this. What does God want me to do? Where does God want me to go? What's next? You put it in your terms. How do you think about that? God, I'm praying for clarity. I've had that prayer request from a lot of people. I need clarity because I got to make a decision coming up. I'm looking for that person to marry, or I got a job situation I got to deal with. Or I just want to know God's will. I want to know what's next. If you've ever prayed that before, you understand where this is coming from. And we go, okay, how do I know? How do I know this? Because you want to do it God's way, right? That's if we're following Jesus, we want to know that. And then one of the verses that many of us have memorized, Jeremiah 29:11, points to this. It's good news. And those of you that are on YouVersion, this is the verse of the day. It just kind of popped up. So this is interesting. Jeremiah 29:11, written for the people in exile who are wondering, God, what are you doing? We're away from where we want to be. What are you doing? And God said to them, to the prophet, for I know the plans I have for you. There are plans for you, declares the Lord, and they're good plans, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope in a future. Most of you know this verse, right? And we hang on to it. Yet there is a plan that God is working. It is good. It is positive. There is a future and a hope. And again, it was written to a group of people in exile coming back home, but I think it applies to us today. There's so many verses talking about the fact that God has a plan. He has a will. He has a way. He has something he wants you to do. Now, I think for most of us, we kind of think about that as like a box. Like when you were a kid, and some of your kids in here, you know at Christmas, that box that went under the tree, not the ones with the envelope. You know what's in an envelope, right? There's money or there's a card. But you know the boxes when you were a kid that used to sit there and used to come out about November something, maybe it's Thanksgiving, and you were wondering, what's in the box? I got to know what's in the box. And you would take the box at night and you would shake the box, or you would barely pull back the paper. Anybody get caught doing this? You'd pull back the paper just trying to see what the box was, and it was plain. You couldn't figure anything out. Or you had just wanted something, and you want to open the box and see what's inside, right? Did you ever experience that? And you go, I want to know what's inside. I think we look at God's will the same way. It's like, okay, there's a plan. Oh, great. Let me see it. I want to inspect it. I want to know what it is. I want to see where you're taking me, God. Show it to me. And it doesn't happen that way, right? Doesn't happen that way so often. I heard someone talk about this the other day. They said, we're looking for God to be one of three things when we're talking about this. One, we're looking for God to be a fortune teller. and that everything ahead of us is all good and all positive, and here's where it's going to be, and here's your good fortune, and you open up the Chinese cookie, and you go, there it is, a fortune cookie, go do this, and we want that from God, go do this. And then sometimes it's a feeling, right? I feel like I'm supposed to do this. I feel like it's time for a change. I feel like this is the right person. And we begin to look at our feelings. Now, the Holy Spirit does give us promptings, but it's understanding the difference between a prompting from the Holy Spirit and a feeling, because we are people of faith. And faith and feelings don't always go together, right? We may feel like doing something, and yet faith says, go this way. So we want the feeling to be right. I just feel it. I'm supposed to do this. The third thing that we want is a formula. We want God to give us a formula. If you do A, then B will happen, and then C will happen, and you're just going to do that. So I got it figured out. If I make all my decisions this way, I do A, and then B, then C will happen, and D is a beautiful life. Have you ever thought about it that way, right? Like, one of the things I look at is the Mountain to Sea Trail, which I understand is destroyed now. If you've ever heard about this trail, it goes from what used to be called Klingman's Dome to Jockey's Ridge. It goes across the state, and you can get an actual printout of it that tells you every place to get water on the trail, every place to camp, hotels, motels on the way, places where their trail angels are going to help you. It's marked in miles and sometimes tenths of a mile so that you can walk this trail and never risk. Never risk once. The trip is the risk, right? But we want that from God. You're going to do this, then you're going to do that, then you're going to do this, and you're going to be good. And we want that. Life is faith journey, so we don't always get that. Not only that, if it was just a formula, we would forget God at all, right? I don't need God. I have a formula, and I'm good. And I don't have to check in with God till it's all done. When you read the scriptures, it's very, very interesting. Quick three stories about how sometimes God works. Not always, but God worked three ways in this. And the first story is an Old Testament. Abraham wants to get a wife for his son Isaac. He sends the servant and he says, look, we don't want the women here. Family's up north. You go up north. Go get a wife for my son and it's all going to be good. And so the servant goes like, how am I going to pick a wife for this guy's son? Isaac, how am I going to do this? So he gets close to where he's going. He's thinking, what am I going to do? So he prays and says, God, this is what I want you to do. When women come out to feed or get water, here's what I want you to do. Have somebody come out that gives me water and then says, I'll water my camels too. And I'll know that that's the right person. So he prays that, he goes there, and then here comes this girl, and she sees him, and she says, do you need some water? And you know what, I'll water your camels too. Her name was Rebecca, and she was pretty. It all worked out, right? It was like, this is the perfect person. He goes, oh great, God saw this. Immediately he goes, God sent me, you're the one, I'm taking you home, you're gonna marry Isaac. Now some of us that are in the dating world, you're going, that's perfect. I want a red sports car, I want so much money in the bank. God, do that, and I'll know it's the right person, right? They gotta be cute, and they gotta be, funny. Make them that. But we ask God those kinds of things. But it worked for Abraham and Rebecca and Isaac. Second story, Saul is gonna be king. That's a big step up in the world from what he was doing. One day, the family lost all the donkeys. Saul goes looking for the donkeys. He runs into Samuel. Samuel's the prophet. He knows that Saul's going to be king. He tells Saul, now do this. Take this road. When you get to a tree, there'll be three guys there underneath the tree. One of them's got three loaves of bread. One of them has three little goats with him, okay? The other one has some wine in a skin. That, talk to them. They're going to give you some bread. Eat that. Keep going down this different road. There'll be a garrison of soldiers. When you get there, there's going to be some people prophesying. Join in with them, and you're going to become king. Wouldn't you love that? How do you know which job to go? Because when you get there, they're going to open the door. They're going to say that. Isn't that what we want from God? Just open the door, and then when I arrive, they're going to do these things. You know exactly. That's the job. That's the house to buy. All the details are laid out. Third story, New Testament this time. Guy named Ananias, minding his own business. God comes to him and said, look, there's this guy, and I want you to go to this street named Straight. Here's the street. And on that street is a guy named Judas. And inside that house that Judas lives in, there's a guy there named Saul of Tarsus. He's blind. He's praying right now. I'm listening to his prayer while we're talking. I want you to go lay your hands on him, pray over him. He's going to see. Ananias goes, I've heard about that guy. He's killing all the Christians. Don't want to go. God said, it's my plan. He's going to go to the Gentiles. Go do it. And Ananias goes to Straight Street, go to Judas's house. There's Saul, hands on, blinded, gone, sees, life is good. Wouldn't you like to have that? Wouldn't you like to have that kind of clarity in life? This is God's will for your life. Do this, do this, do this. Sometimes God does that. God lays it all out in front of us. Exactly. Most of the time, that's not true. Most of the time, there's something else that God is doing. I've known in my own life, there's times where God's been very, very specific, usually involves a big change in life. But every other day, how do you know God's will? How do you answer the question, what does God want you to do? How do you answer the question, what's next? We're going to talk about today how to discover God's will. It's there on your outline. There's three things we're going to look at. And just know this, it's all about a relationship, no matter what we talk about. It's not a formula. It's not a step-by-step. It's all having a relationship with the Jesus who knows you better than you know yourself. On your outline, let's go through this. Number one, the first thing, if you want to know God's will, if you want to know what God wants you to do, you got to desire God's will over your own desires. Desire God's will over your own desires. Like if you're weighing them in your heart, which one gets more weight? Which one gets more weight? What God wants you to do or what you want to do? Which one gets more weight? Desire God's will over your own desires. In this series, we kind of laid out three goals for us. Here's the goals. Be with Jesus, right? If you want to know God's will, be with Jesus. Become like Jesus. Do what Jesus did. Here's the third one. Do as Jesus did. So that's what we're talking about. What did Jesus do with God's will? It's interesting in the New Testament as they talk about Jesus. There's some interesting things in these stories. There's three stories, four of them, right? I'm going to go through fairly quickly, that we've taught just recently. Each one of them had a little piece I don't think we ever mentioned. I want to mention them today. John chapter 4, if you want to follow along, I'm going to go John 4, John 5, John 8, and then Luke 22. John chapter 4, the whole chapter. Jesus is going through the countryside. Brandon taught on this summer. He is down in Judea. He's got to go up here to Galilee. And it says very specifically in scriptures that they had to go through Samaria, though most of the Jews went around Samaria because they didn't like the culture. But it says very specifically they had to, as if God made them do it. They get to the town of Samaria. The disciples are going, Jesus, we're hungry. We're going to get some food in town. Jesus, I'm just going to stay right here by the well. They all leave him. You remember the story. Jesus is there. Woman comes up at noon. She's not supposed to be there at noon, but she's an outcast because of her lifestyle. She has this conversation, a life-changing conversation with Jesus. They have a dialogue. They talk about who God is. They talk about worship. They talk about her life. He knows things about her she has never admitted to other people. She's getting this understanding that he is different. And they have this encounter. And she says, you're the Messiah. And she's so convinced of it. She goes to the town, says, everybody come and see. They come and saw Jesus. They hung out just for a little bit. And then they go home and say, we kind of believed before but what you told us, but now we believe because we've seen you. So this is all going on, right? Life-changing day. The disciples come back. What are they interested in? You remember? They go, Jesus, we got food. There was a drive-thru on the way back. We got you some food. Here you go. And we got some food for you because you didn't get a chance to eat. And in John 4:34, if you have your Bibles, look at this. About food, Jesus said to him, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. I don't need food. That's not what I'm about. Now, he did eat, right? At that moment, he's going, my life comes from doing the will of him who sent me and to do his work. That's what I want. That's why I'm here. I want that more than the food that you've got. My desire is to do my Father's will. That's why I'm here. That's what my life is. I'm going to accomplish his work. That's the heart of Jesus. If we're going to be like Jesus, having that heart. That's John 4. John 5 is the story we just did a few weeks ago. Story of a man that was crippled for over 30 years. He goes out every day to this pond, this pool, and he wants to get in to be healed. And every day is disappointment, every day is hard. But one day, Jesus came into his life. He said to the guy, do you even want to get better? He talked to him about his heart's desire. Do you even want to get better? And the guy came up with all these excuses why he couldn't have the life he wanted to have. And Jesus looked at him and says, get up and walk. And he began to walk, but it was the Sabbath day, if you remember the story. They began to argue with Jesus. How can you do this on the Sabbath day? And in John chapter 5, verse 30, this is what Jesus said to him. I can do nothing on my own, talking about healing the guy. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. Now look at this part. Because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. It kind of covers the whole story, right? I'm here. My father wanted me to encounter this guy this day. Here he is. This is what I'm here for. And I'm all only interested in that. I'm not here to do what I want. I'm here to do what he wants. John chapter 8. Let's continue through this kind of idea. There's a woman. Says she's caught in the very act of adultery. Wonder what that was like, right? Bunch of men burst in the house. They didn't bring the guy out. They bring the girl out. Throw her on the ground. They're going to execute her in front of everybody. That was their culture. And they bring her in front of Jesus. And if you remember the story, right, he's writing in the sand. We don't know he's writing. He gets their attention. They begin to discuss it with him. And he looks at the guys and he says, basically this, he who is without sin, throw the first stone, right? Whoever is blameless, you can do this. And it said, starting at the oldest to the youngest, they just began to drop their rocks and walk away. Just Jesus and the woman, he says to her, look, where are your accusers? They're all gone. And he goes, I don't accuse you either. I don't condemn you either. But go and sin no more. And she went away a changed woman. And there's a discussion about this. And if you know the stories, do you know these are connectors to these stories? John in his writing is connecting these stories. John 8, 29, he's quoting Jesus, and Jesus is saying, and he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. So have you ever noticed these connector phrases to these stories? You know the stories, you know the connections. He said, I'm here. My Father is always with me, just like he's always with you. And I want to please my Father. I want to do his will. I want to do what he wants me to do. That's his heart. So it connects all those stories together. Each day is a discovery of what Jesus is doing. The last one is from Luke 22. You know this story, right? This account from Jesus' life. Last day of his life. He spent it with his disciples. He takes them out to a garden. Says, let's pray. He goes off to pray on his own. And he does this three times. Luke 22, 42. He says, Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me. Take the cross away from me. Take my death away. Take the sin away. I don't want to deal with this. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. It's not what I want. It's what you want. And that's another connector. And the idea of this, if you look at the trajectory of Jesus' life, you'll see it connected. I'm doing my Father's will. I'm doing what pleases him. I only want to do what he wants me to do. And in that, he led the most fulfilling life ever lived, right? He impacted the most people who ever lived because he simply said, I'm here, God has a purpose, he has a plan, and my job is just to do that. That's the way of Jesus. In earlier weeks of this, I talked about the influence that experiencing God had on my thinking. It's a great study, we've taken people through it. And in it, there's this short little section that stuck out with me about God's will and God's ways and what he wants from us. And it's three statements. Here it is. God is love. And the question is, do you believe that? Do you really believe that God is pure love? His way is always best. Okay, so if we understand that God loves us, then everything he wants for us is the best for us. Do we really believe that? Is that our heart? God is all-knowing. He can see around the corners, right? His will is always right. He can see things that you and I can't see. He knows things that we don't know. He knows what's best for us. He knows what we need. And so he knows it all. He's ahead of us. He's behind us. He's with us. All at the same time, his will is always right. Do we believe that? Do you ever want to give God advice? You know, God, I'm not really good with your plan right now. If you just changed it slightly. If you were just to bring, I just need a few more dollars. That's all. I need a little better job. I think there's one over here. Would you? Can you? I know you can see where I can't see, but God, I think for a few moments I know a little better than you because I'm me and you're you. So, and you got a lot going on. There's 7 billion people you're trying to take care of. If you would just let me do it my way for a little bit, it'd be okay. Now, none of us would admit that out loud, maybe. But have you ever done that? God, I think it would be better if. Number three, God is all powerful. He will enable me to do his will. You ever looked at something and go, I'm afraid? I don't like change. I don't like things that are different. I don't want myself to change. I don't want to become a different person. You ever felt that way? God is all powerful. You ever said to God, yeah, that works for that person, but you can't solve me. I'm too tough for you, God. My problems are too deep. My issues are too long-standing. You can't help me. Have you ever done that before? Like, I believe that you're going to help that person, but me, I'm too hard for you, God. That's kind of an arrogant thing to say to God, right? I'm too bad of a person. I got too many issues for you to fix. But God is all-powerful, and he can enable you to do his will. I love that. Three simple statements. God is love. His way is always best. God is all-knowing. His way is always right, or his will is. And God is all-powerful. He can enable me to do what he wants me to do. You ever thought about what's the number one prayer prayed in the world today? What would you guess? Being prayed right now all over the world. Probably the Lord's Prayer. Would you guess that? You know, people are praying this all over the world. People have memorized it. They start their day with it. You ever thought about how it starts? Matthew 6, 9 and 10. Our Father, I love it, our Father. Jesus includes us in this. Hallowed be your name. What does it say? Your kingdom, what? Come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Great way to start the day. Here, I'm going to offer you to change it. Again, here's my thing. I'm going to change Jesus' prayer, all right? No, I'm not. I'm going to give you an option of how to refine it for your life, okay? How about this? Your kingdom come, your will be done in my life as it is in heaven. What about that for a prayer? Jesus, your kingdom come, you reign in my life, you be my Lord, your will be done in my life as it is in heaven perfectly. Wouldn't it be a cool way to start the day? Because God's way is best, because God's way is right, because he can enable you to do what he asks you to do. That's what he said to pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done in my life as it is in heaven. Number one is to desire God's will over your own desires. Number two, commit to the transformation process of becoming like Jesus. This is for all of you that don't like change, okay? Commit to the transformation process of becoming like Jesus. It is a process. Process means it's going on. It's a thing that doesn't happen all at once. You come to Jesus, usually most everybody comes like in a moment. Sometimes it's a process, but the process of sanctification, becoming like Jesus, is a lifelong process. Romans 12:2, best verse for this, if you're looking for just to nail it down, it says this: do not conform to the pattern of this world. So don't be like the world, don't be molded. It's like playing with Play-Doh, playing with clay. The new thing at the Learning Center is to do nails out of Play-Doh. I don't participate in that, I just want you to know. But the little girls open up their own little nail shop, and you can go, and they'll say $100 for you. And I'm like, I have no money, and I don't need it. But the other ones go in, and they put their hands out, and they get Play-Doh nails. And they get different colors, and some of them are mold. They're good. These girls are going to be talented. They are talented. But, that, you know, it means to be conformed, means to be like Play-Doh, shaped into something. It says the world's trying to shape you, but don't let it shape your life. Instead, be transformed by the renewing. Notice the word renewing, constant. The Greek form of the verb, it means constantly, just continually renewing. It means it happens all the time if you let it. Transform by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. How do you know what God's will is? Because he's going to change you and change the way you think. You will not think like other people out there. You'll think like Jesus thinks. Again, the Learning Center, we do Bible every day for about half hour. We're using a show called The Loop. It's produced by Life Church. It's teaching every day. This week they're at the Museum of the Bible in Washington, D.C. It was really fascinating. I sit there, I'm taking notes on this stuff. I got my phone out. I got to remember this stuff. And this week they were talking to Pastor Craig Rochelle, who just sometimes gets inserted into it. Like, they have a team, but he gets inserted into a little bit of a sermon. He was talking about your mind. And he says, look, you got to train your mind like you train your body. When you train your body, what do? You move it. You manipulate it, right? But it also, not just what you do with it, it's what you put into it, right? If you want your body to be healthy, it's not just what you do with it, it's what you put into it. He said training your mind is the exact same thing. It's about what you do with your mind, how you think, how you process, what you allow in your mind is also important. Are you allowing the scripture into your mind? Are you allowing God to speak into your mind? Are you allowing the spirit to speak to you through your mind? What you allow into it is important as what you do with it. And that's how God changes our mind. It's how he renews our mind through the Spirit, through the Word, transferring our mind. Like even right now, as you begin to think of some things maybe you never thought about. Maybe you saw some verses you never realized. Maybe you thought, I didn't know how Jesus did that. Well, that's how Jesus did. That's renewing of our mind. A couple of weeks ago in small group, I asked a question. Here's the question we started with. Would you rather? I love would you rather questions. Would you rather go to In-N-Out, which most of you don't know, we'll say Cookout here, or Dario? Would you rather go to Cookout or Dario? And you give me your answers. Here's the question we really ask. Would you rather have God's will for your life or your heart's desire? Would you rather have your heart's desire or God's will for your life? Now, if you're super spiritual, you'll do what our group did. They should be the same thing, right? They should be the same thing. They're not always. They're not always the same thing. Would you rather have God's will or your heart's desire? That's a thing to wrestle through, right? I mean, give you yourself to do. I want this. Like, I want enough money so I don't ever worry about money. Not too much, just enough never. How much is that? I think God would say, you don't need to have enough, right? You just don't have to worry. You ever thought about what is your heart's desire? And are they molded together? Is God's will and your heart's desire the same thing? In the Psalms, it says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will what? Give you the desires of your heart. Many of us. So in other words, when you delight yourself in God, when you want what God wants, they're the same thing. He gives you the desires. It's something to think about as we allow God to renew our mind. Are they the same thing? In Romans 12:2, if we go back to that, it says this about God's will. His good will. His good will. It's good for you. It's his pleasing will, and it's his perfect will. Perfect will. He knows exactly what you need. I don't know if anybody saw this in the news this week. Any Duke fans, we'll excuse you today, okay? We love you today. It's good. Any Duke basketball fans? Does anybody know that Duke is university down the street? Okay. Duke produces a lot of good basketball players. In 2022, a player came out of their system named A.J. Griffin. If you know that story, very interesting story. In 2022, he was a 16th pick. NBA rookie contract, $17 million, 4 years. That's not a bad job for your first job out of college, right? When you're 19 years old, $17 million, that's just a good starting job. I did not start at $17 million. I want you to know that was not my starting pay when I came out of college. And I don't know if anybody here, that's a good amount of money. Last week, he announced he was retiring. He only played 2 years. He's given up the rest of his contract. He's not going to get paid that anymore. And it's very interesting. This made national news. I don't know if you saw this or not. They asked him why. And he said this. It's a cool quote. I think we have it. Because I truly get to serve God with my full yes. People go, can't you do both? Can't you play basketball and like tell people about God? He goes, no, I can't. I can't do that. I know the lifestyle. I know what it is. I know what God's saying. So I'm going to choose that. That's a renewed mind, isn't it? Can you, you walk away from, what, $8 million? Keep it. I'd rather be able to say fully yes to Jesus than that. That's a renewed mind. Cool story. I'm almost a Duke fan. Close. But not fully. Can't go that far. As I was working on this message, a song came on the radio. I just love how God does these things. So here's a song. Maybe you've heard this song. It's cool. It's called More Like Jesus. Have you guys heard this song? So this is the lyrics. Talking about how the world thinks is how it comes on first. Being conformed to the world. For I've been told to live my own truth. That's what the world tells us, right? Live your own truth. Do whatever makes me feel good. That's what the world teaches. Get rid of boundaries. The rules are stifling. Don't have rules. Chase good feelings because soon we'll be gone. What? But I found myself more lost than ever, enslaved and bound to my desires. And that's not freedom. We think, oh, that's great. If I could have all that stuff, that's freedom. It's not. Then he says this, Holy Spirit, make me more like Jesus. And kind of our theme, right? Each day, a little more like Jesus. Crucify my flesh with yours, that my new life be secured. Everything I do, done so I can honor you. Resurrect me, sanctify me, make me more like your image. Make me more like Jesus, more of you and less of me. That's powerful lyrics, I think, right? And exactly what we're talking about, being transformed into Jesus. I don't want to be conformed to that. I don't want to live my own truth. I don't want to have what I want because that's a trap. I want what Jesus wants for me. So commit to that transformation process. Do what God's asked you to do and allow him to renew your mind. The third one and last one, we'll wrap up with this. Number three is surrender daily to the leadership of Jesus. Surrender daily to the leadership of Jesus. So often, again, we want to know God's plan. Here it is, now go live it. That's not what God says. It's not like, okay, Abram, go to a land and I will show you. I'll catch up with you there. It's like, here's enough for today. Here's enough for today. Surrender today. Luke 9:23, I love the way Luke records the statement of Jesus to those who follow Jesus. Jesus speaking, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Every day. Not 10 years from now when you get to the end of the line. We'll meet up again. It's daily, right? We'll connect daily. Go back to those stories. You know, we look at it from Jesus' standpoint. John chapter 4. The woman at the well woke up that day having no idea she was going to meet Jesus. No idea. All she knew is she couldn't go when everybody else was going because she was ostracized because of her lifestyle. So she goes at noon, having no idea that her life would be changed that day. The village woke up that day. Not one of them knew they were going to meet Jesus, right? It was like that day they got a present. They open it and go, wow, there's God. Never expected it. Never in their mind even thought about it, right? Suddenly they knew the true God. They knew Jesus. Whoa, blew their mind. Guy got up the next day in his little village, or he had to have somebody take him down to the water, right? He's paralyzed for over 30 years. He had no idea that day was going to be the day he met Jesus and he would walk. Had no idea. It was like he was given a present, opened the present. That's God's will for me today. Woman caught in adultery. She woke up in another man's bed that day. Had no idea that day she would meet Jesus, her life would be spared. Had no idea. But it was like a present was dropped there. It's like, open this up. Here's God's plan for your life. Go and sin no more. Life is completely changed. Jesus woke up the last day of his life. He knew exactly what was going to happen to him. But he said, I'm going to do this so that we could open a present every single day and go, this is God's will for my life. Every day. Starting on our knees every day and going, okay, what is it today? I don't need to know tomorrow. I don't need to 10 years ago. What do you want me to do today? If he wants you to know what's 10 years from now, do these things, you know what? It's up to him to do that. He'll show up like he did with the people we talked about earlier. He'll go, now you're going to do this and do this, do this. But if he doesn't, what do we do? Today. What do you want today? I will do this today. It's a powerful way of living, isn't it? Every day surrender. That's how you find out God's will for your life. It's a great thing. Experiencing God, one last thing from that. It's this idea. Here's a prayer. Lord, as you go with me, Jesus, as you go with me, tell me what to do one step at a time, and I will do that. Don't need the whole thing. I trust you. Your will is good, pleasing, and perfect. Just show me today so I know what to do today. And tomorrow, you know what? We'll get up and do the same thing. And we'll be good. Let's just do this together. Last thing, and then we'll close up. A year ago, it was interesting. I am not a concert person. Can I just tell you that? I'm not big on crowds. And going to concerts to me is like, I could save the money and just listen to the music home. That's just me, okay? I don't know if anybody else is like that. I'm not going to pay all this money that I can just turn on. I can listen to songs I want. I don't have people yelling and screaming and they're in my way and that kind of stuff. You got to wait for it. So it's like our family wanted to go see this concert down in New Bern, and it was like, I'll go with you guys. I want to do the family thing. So we were going to go to New Bern. We were going to leave after church, and it was Benjamin William Hastings and Brandon Lake. It's like, okay. I like those guys. I'll go. It won't be terrible. I have walked out of concerts before, and I've told Stacy, I went to one, and I said, I'm going to go sleep in the car. You come wake me up. That's just me. Some of you can relate. So I go to this concert going, okay, whatever. And it was really cool because they introduced a song I had not heard. It was out there, I'm sure, but I was oblivious. And it was a song, Abandoned. I love this song. I think we could show you the lyrics. It just like, you ever had God like speak a little bit? Here's the lyrics. Abandoned, but completely, deeply sold out, sincerely abandoned. That's surrendered, right? That's surrendered to God at the moment. I'm completely, freely, hands to the ceiling, enamored. My one life endeavor to match your surrender, Jesus, to mirror not my will but yours. Oh, I'm completely, deeply, don't care who sees me, abandoned. Like, I just want what you want. And so we heard this, and they go, you know what, guys? We're recording this tonight. We're recording this out. So I thought, well, that's interesting. And now that's the version they play. And it's really cool because it's like what they have on YouTube was this little place we went in New Bern, this church that we saw this. And so every time I hear the song, and I hear it quite often, because it's on Stacy's playlist, so I get to hear it a lot, okay, which is cool. It's like every time it's a reminder. It's like God speaking to me. Like that was a song that he zeroed into my heart. Are you abandoned? Do you want God's will above your own? Because you know he's good and he's perfect and he's pleasing in your life and he loves you. Is that your life? I have to, every time I hear it, I got to stop and go, am I there? Am I there? Okay, I'm going to be there right now. Not tomorrow, not the next week. I just do this every single day. That's what it's about to follow Jesus. Today for communion, I'm not going to do something separate. We're just going to leave the words on the screen. That's going to be our communion meditation. So after I pray, what we're going to ask you to do is just sit and go, is that your heart today? Is that your heart to be completely abandoned for Jesus? Fully surrender to his will? And if you're not, that's okay. Just then lay out before him going, there's some areas I want to hold on to. Pry my fingers off of it because it's not going to work. It's not going to last. It's okay to be honest with Jesus. And we're not there all perfectly. We understand that. It's just, but today I want to do what Jesus did for me. He abandoned his own will and he said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done on the cross. And that's what this represents. So I'm going to pray. When you're ready, take communion and we'll continue to worship. Let's pray. Father God, we look at what Jesus did for us, and we're only copying him, and we're poor copies at that, but your Holy Spirit is working in us. You're transforming us. Sometimes it's little itty-bitty things day to day that we don't even notice. It's like growing. Other times it's huge stuff that you say, lay that on the altar, as Abraham laid his son Isaac on the altar. Sometimes it's something big we've got to let go of. Whatever it is, we want to abandon it today. We want to leave it in our chairs as we go up to take communion, but we don't want to pick it up when we get back. It may be a hope, a dream, a sin, a temptation, a weakness, but we give it up for Christ because he gave up everything for us. So use this time of commitment today in our hearts to reveal to us things that we need to give up, walk away from, say goodbye to, so that we can live fully for Christ. And then enable us by the power of the Holy Spirit to do your will, because we are unable to do that apart from you. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. When you're ready, receive communion.